can you walk when you don't know the way of the wind? How can you run when you don't know the way of the spirit? How can you fight when you don't know the way of the wind? The power at work in you, working everything in obedience to Christ.
Hello, dearly beloved. I believe that wherever you are listening to me this moment, you are doing great. And it's a privilege to share the word of God with you. Before we actually move on to what the Lord wants me to share with you today, I just want us to agree in spirit as I say a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this moment. I pray that you speak to us, minister to our needs, transform our life, touch our lives. Let your word bring light and illumination. Let your word bring revival to us. In Jesus' name I pray with thanksgiving. Speak, O Lord. I commit myself to you. I am but a vessel. You carry the word. Speak your word through me. Let your word be heard through me. And may your people not hear my wisdom, but let them hear your wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's a privilege to share the word of God with you. And today, I am just speaking on a very important subject in the Christian faith, in the Christian kingdom. And I believe I've already mentioned it already. I am speaking on the subject of faith. I'm speaking on the subject of faith. Undoubtedly, faith is one of the most important virtues we need in the kingdom. One of the most important virtues we need in our walk with God. Faith is one of the most important virtues in the body of Christ. In fact, everybody or anybody that will excel in his assignment must be a man or woman of faith. Through my study, I discovered that all those who moved their generations, all those who subdued kingdoms and shut the mouth of lions in their generations were men of faith. Those that took territories in their generations, those that were the movers and the shakers in their generations were men and women of faith. So I have come to understand that it is basically impossible to be successful in your assignment, to be successful in your walk with God, without faith. Faith is a necessity and not an option. Faith is a must and not a choice. If any man will excel, he must, by all standard, he must be a person of faith. Because without faith, what the Lord has intended to do will not be actualized. Because it takes faith to convert what the Lord has done in the spirit into the physical. What I'm actually trying to say that faith is a converter that converts things from the spiritual to the physical and things from the physical to the spiritual. So faith is a spiritual converter. And no man can do without faith, especially if that person is one who is desiring to walk with God. So the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So, any man that will have to please God must be a man or a woman of faith. Now, what is faith? When we actually talk about faith, from the biblical perspective, I believe we'll all be looking at the popular scripture in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And if you have your Bible with you, wherever you are listening to me in this moment, I want you to turn your Bible with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, wherever you are listening to me at this very moment. I'm reading from the King James Version, and the Bible says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I want you to take note of some key words the Bible actually mentioned in this particular scripture. The first word I want you to take note of is the word substance. Substance. The second word I want you to take note of is hoped, or the word hope. The word hope. The third word is evidence. Evidence. So these are three important words I want you to actually take note of in this particular scripture. Now, most people have, in a way, found themselves getting confused anytime they read the word of God. They will read the word of God in this particular verse, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, to talk about something as a substance, it means that the thing should be something you can see, something you can touch, meaning tangible, or something you can feel. A substance. Something you can see, touch, feel. It's mostly what we associate the word substance to. So when the Bible mentioned that faith is a substance, it means that faith, in a way, can be seen, in a way it can be touched, in a way it can be felt. Faith. Then the Bible mentioned the word hope. Now, to hope for something means that you are in expectation of that thing. It means that you are looking forward to receive something you don't have at the moment. So you are hoping for a car, or you are hoping for a house. Means that you don't have the car, you don't have the house, and yet you are looking forward to have it. And here the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. So the Bible brings two words, substance and hope. in the same context, which in a way looks like directly opposite to each other. Hope means that I don't have it, but substance means that something tangible. So if the Bible says that faith is the substance, something I can see, something I can feel, something I can touch of what I am hoping for, then we'll ask, how can you have the substance of things you are hoping for? The fact that you are hoping for, or the fact that you've hoped for, means that it is not yet there. So if it is not yet there, how can you then have the substance of what is not yet there? So I'll explain that. Then the Bible mentioned the word evidence of things not seen. The fact that I have an evidence of something means that I have seen it. Because I cannot claim to have an evidence of what I have not seen. So what does the Bible really mean by the evidence of things not seen? Now, listen. This is what the Bible is talking about. When the Bible talks about faith being the substance of things hoped for, the evidence not seen, I want you to understand that in the first place, faith is spiritual and not physical. I take it again. Faith is spiritual and not physical. So, what the Bible was talking about here was in the spiritual term, in the spiritual sense, in the spiritual realm. So when the Bible was talking about faith is the substance of things hoped for, it was talking about the spiritual substance of things hoped for. When the Bible was talking about the evidence of things not seen, the Bible was talking about the spiritual evidence of things not seen. So, the substance and the evidence here, simply put, is a strong spiritual belief and conviction you get, or conviction you have within your spirit man, that what God has promised you is already given to you, or that you have in possession what the Lord has promised you, or what you are trusting God for. Even though physically you don't have the evidence, physically there's nothing to show, physically there's nothing to prove, but spiritually you have the evidence. I want you to know that you can have the evidence in your spirit man, where you can see what God has promised you. By faith in your spirit, you can touch what God has given you, and you can feel what God has given you. Even though in the physical, it does not manifest, even though it's in the physical, nothing shows, but spiritually, you can see it. There's that strong assurance, that strong confidence that I have it. God has promised me a house. God has promised me a scholarship. God has promised me good marriage. God has promised me something mega. I don't have any sign. There's nothing showing that thing is coming, but I know I have it. I am confident. I want you to know that confidence, that assurance within your spirit that what God has promised you is yours, is the faith we are talking about. So faith is that substance, that spiritual substance in your spirit. And it is that spiritual evidence in your spirit. Is somebody getting me? So it is not physical. Faith is not in the physical, but in the spiritual. Hallelujah. So when God is talking about substance and evidence here, he's talking about the confidence, that spiritual confidence and assurance you have in your spirit that what God has told you, what God has promised you, he's able to do it. He has done it. You have it. Even though nothing shows, even though nothing proves, there's no sign physically showing that you have it, but you know, you can sit down and with your eyes, you can see that house, with your eyes, you can see that traveling, with your eyes, you can see that business. Even though nothing is happening, God told you he's giving you a business and nothing is showing physically. But when you sit down, whilst others, everybody around you is saying that there is a casting down, you will look at yourself and say that, no, I don't see a casting down, but I see a lifting up. I don't see a casting down, but I see my business. Even though nothing shows, everybody says that my life is going down. Everybody says that things are not working. Everybody says that I'm not going to make it, but I see it. I am fine. I am doing better. God has promised me healing in that situation, healing from that disease. And it looks as if I am going to die, but I see myself walking, running all over. I see myself strong, powerful. That conviction, that confidence that what God has given you, what God has told you is true. What God has told you is true and that you have received it. That confidence in the word of God is the faith we are talking about. So, if we can develop that faith, then we can do so much for the Lord. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I just want you to understand that faith is so essential in our lives and in our walk with God, especially in a generation like this. Because we will all need faith to stand. The Bible says something in the book of Luke chapter 22, Luke chapter 22, verse 32. There is a scripture there. Reasons why we need faith. Reason why I need to walk in faith. Reason why I need to walk in faith. Time is not on our side. I just want to glance through it quickly. Luke chapter 22, the verse 32. I actually want to start reading from the verse 31. So if your Bible is with you, wherever you are, I just want you to read with me. Wherever you are listening to me, I just want us to agree as I read the scripture. The Bible says that, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you. Now, this is Jesus talking to Simon Peter and said, Peter, Simon, there is an attack coming against your life. The devil is after your life. The devil is pursuing your life. Now listen to what Jesus said after. Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Now, why would Jesus pray that the faith of the man fail not? When the devil was coming against him. That is because, ladies and gentlemen, what will keep you standing in the days of adversity is not your intelligence, is not your skill, is not your ability to maneuver things, to manipulate people. It is not your contact, but your faith. In fact, your faith is your spiritual defense. Your faith is your spiritual strength. Your faith is your spiritual stamina that keeps you standing. A man without faith is a man without strength. A man without faith is a man without defense. Faith is very important. So you need faith to keep standing in the days of adversity. So the Bible says that if thy strength fail thee in the days of adversity, then your strength is small.
So you need faith to keep standing. Now, reasons why we need faith, reason why we need to walk in faith in a season like this. Reason why we need to walk in faith. I just want to brush through. You need to walk in faith because you cannot please God without faith. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 12. And the Bible says that for without faith, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. So the Bible is saying that we cannot please God without faith. In our work with God, there is nothing we can do. Whatever we do, if it is not mixed with faith, whatever sacrifice we offer to the Lord, whatever we do in the house of God, whatever we do in our work with God, if that thing is not mixed with faith, it does not please God. God is pleased by faith, and as such, it is basically impossible. I did not write it. The Bible stated it. You can check it from your own Bible in the house or wherever you are. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, the Bible says that it is impossible to please God without faith. Now, reasons why we need to walk in faith. You have to also understand that you cannot receive from God without faith. And I want us to read something in the book of James. If your Bible is with you, turn with me to the book of James, chapter 1, verse. James chapter 1, verse 5 to 7. James chapter 1, verse 5 to 7. And it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth unto all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Verse 6. Listen to what verse 6 says. Now, remember that in verse 5, he says that if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask in what? Faith. Let him ask wisdom. If anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask wisdom. But verse 6, he's teaching us how to ask for the wisdom. But he says that let him ask in faith. So do not ask in doubt, but ask in what? Faith. Not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7 says, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Let not that man think that he will receive anything of the Lord. So if you ask anything of the Lord, if you ask and you don't ask in faith, you can't receive. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that faith is your spiritual hand that helps you receive what God has to offer. Because whatever the Lord is going to offer, he will offer it through the Spirit. The Lord dwells in the Spirit. The Lord is a Spirit. And anything he will offer, he will offer it in the Spirit. And it will take faith, which is your spiritual hand, to receive what the Lord is offering you in the Spirit. So there are so many of us that are actually expecting God to give us something. And surprisingly, God has actually stretched out his hand. God has been stretching out his hand all this while, desiring to give us what we are asking for. But the problem is that our hand of faith is not there to receive what God is giving. So you have to know that you cannot receive without faith. So faith is a necessity. If you want to abound, if you want to receive all the promises the Lord has given you, the prophecies the Lord has given you, you need faith. Also, it is impossible to access God without faith. So the Bible says in the same book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, the Bible says that he that cometh to the Lord must first believe that he is, the Lord is, and that he is the rewarder of thee that diligently seek him. Now, you also have to know that you need faith because we are living in a world that is full of sufficient evil and destruction, and as such, you need faith to see things from the perspective of God, or you need faith to see things from God's point of view. And the Bible mentions that sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof in the book of Matthew chapter 6 verse 34. Matthew chapter 6 verse 34. Now, finally, I just want you to know that the reason why you need faith is because God is not moved by pity. God is moved by faith. I say it again. God is not moved by pity, but God is moved by faith. I don't know what you are going through. I don't know the challenges you are going through. But whatever you are going through, you cannot manipulate God. By crying, your tears, your sorrows, your pain, it might be tough. I'm not saying that what you are going through is not tough. What you are going through is not a difficult one. It might be a difficult one. It might be a tough one. It might be a hard one on you. But the fact that you sit down, fold your hands, and start crying will not change anything. The amount of tears you share will not change anything until faith comes into motion. So what moves God is not pity, but it is faith. So there is an account in the book of Numbers chapter 14, the verse 1 to 8. Numbers chapter 14, verse 1 to 8. And it gives an account, because of time, I'll just paraphrase it. It's just talking about the 12 spies that were sent into the promised land. And when they returned, 10 of them gave a negative report, and the whole nation was troubled and started murmuring, crying, feeling pity for themselves. And God was not moved until two young men, Joshua and Caleb, stood up and said that, listen, we don't know what our colleagues said, and we don't know how they saw the land, but we think that the land we saw is a good land and we can take the land. And the Bible says that after these two young men stood up and spoke, the nation was revived. They came back alive in faith. And because of that, they were able to access the land that the Lord had prepared for them. So I want you to understand that the principle of faith, you have to understand the principle of faith. And the principle of faith states that we don't consider the pain, but we consider the promise. Whatever you are going through, you don't consider the pain, but you consider the promise. You don't consider the pain, but you consider the promise. The principle of faith states that you don't consider the pain, but you consider the promise. You don't consider what is happening in the physical, the circumstances, what appear. In fact, the devil projects fear. Fear simply means that false evidence appearing real. And faith means that forsaking all things, I trust him. Forsaking all things, I trust him. So it may look like physically everything is turning against me. It looks like what God is saying will not come to pass. But I choose to forsake all things and trust the Lord. That is faith. That is trusting, relying, and depending on what God has said. And also the principle of faith states that how far you believe determines how much you can receive. How far you can believe determines how far you can receive. So what you don't believe, you can't receive. It is what you believe that you receive. Hallelujah. Now, how do I grow my faith? How do I grow my faith? Now, the Bible states that in the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. The Bible states that faith cometh by hearing. Wherever you are, I just want you to turn your word, your scriptures with me. My time is up. I want you to turn your Bible with me to the book of Romans chapter 10 verse 17. How do I grow my faith? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So you grow your faith by consistently. When the Bible mentioned that hearing and hearing, is talking about consistent hearing and fellowshipping with the word of God. Your faith does not grow because you just heard the word of God once and you went back to sleep and you did not do anything about it. Your faith does not grow that way. Your faith grows when you consistently fellowship with the word of God, when you consistently walk in faith, when you study the word of God consistently. Hallelujah. That is where our faith is increased, because the more you fellowship with the word of God, your knowledge is increased, and faith is based on knowledge. Faith takes its strength from knowledge. So Apostle Paul said something that I know whom I have believed. So the faith of the man and the confidence, his confidence in God was as a result of the knowledge he has acquired about God. And he acquired that knowledge by consistently fellowshipping with the Lord. Now, finally, I just want us to look at four dimensions of faith. And because of our time, I'll just brush through within a short period of time. Four dimensions of faith. Four dimensions of faith. The first dimension of faith is the saving faith. The saving faith. The saving faith. And I want you to turn your Bible with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. And the Bible says, for by grace ye are saved through faith. So you are saved by grace through faith. So by faith we believe that Christ came to die for us, and on the third day he resurrected. By faith we believe that he arose again on the third day. By faith we believe that whilst we confess our sins before him, he is faithful and just to forgive us. By faith we believe that as we confess our sins, we are now born again. We are children of God. We are co-heirs together with Christ. By faith we are saved. So you are saved by grace through faith. So you are saved through faith. You are saved through faith. You are saved through faith. Now, the second dimension of faith is little faith. Now, the Bible mentions this in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. Quickly turn your word, your scriptures with me. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now, I want you to understand that those who operate in little faith are basically those who have little knowledge of who God is. They have little knowledge about the ability of God. Like I said, your level of knowledge about God will determine the level of faith you exhibit. You cannot exhibit a faith more than what you know. How well you know God will determine how well you exhibit faith. So you cannot have faith above the knowledge of God you have. So I want you to take note of that. So those of little faith are distracted in the little challenges they face. In the face of adversity, they are distracted. In the face of adversity, they go through challenges and they just lose their guard. They just forget everything. They just lose their faith. Those are men of little faith. Men of little faith are people who need to see in order to believe. So those are men of little faith. Then we have the third dimension, which is the great faith. Now, the great faith is the God's kind of faith. This is the kind of faith that pleases God. This is the kind of faith that has the ability to convert what is in the spirit into the physical. This is the kind of faith that is used to convert spiritual things into physical things. This is the kind of faith that we want. And mostly those that operate this kind of faith are people who have great knowledge about the ability of God. They are confident in the knowledge of God. They are confident in the ability of God. They know what God can do. Paul said, I know whom I believe. He said he is persuaded in God. So if you are not greatly knowledgeable in God or greatly knowledgeable about the abilities of God, you cannot walk in this dimension of great faith. So these people that walk in great faith are persistent until they get the required answers they need. Okay, so this is the kind of faith. An example is that of which is stated in the book of Matthew chapter 8 verse 5 to 10. Matthew chapter 8 verse 5 to 10, about the centurion which came to Jesus and said that, "Master, my servant is sick in the house and I need you to heal my servant." And Jesus said that, "Listen, I will come and heal him." And he said that, "I don't need you to come into my house. All I need is for you to speak the word." The reason why he said, "Speak the word and my servant will be healed," is because he knew the power. He understood the power. He had knowledge about the power in the word of God. He was conscious. He was knowledgeable of the ability of God. So he said that, "I don't need you to come under my roof. I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. All I need is that you speak your word. I believe that when you speak your word, I know that when you speak your word, whatever is wrong with my servant will be taken away and my servant will be completely whole." And another perfect example is that woman that came to Jesus desiring that Jesus heal her daughter who was sick, and Jesus said that, "It is not meet for me to give the children's bread to dogs." And she was able to overlook all the negative things that probably might have come from Jesus and still persisted until she got the answer she needed. So these are the people that walked in great faith. And when you read the account in the book of Matthew chapter 8 verse 5 to 10, in the verse 10, Jesus said that the faith of the centurion was a great faith. Now, finally, we are talking about the supernatural faith. That is the fourth dimension of faith. And quickly, I just want you to turn your scriptures with me, your Bible with me, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 9, and I read, "To another the workings of miracles, to another prophecies, to another discerning of spirit, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues." Let me read from, I think I got the wrong scripture. Let me read verse 12 to chapter 12, verse 9. He said, "To another faith by the same Spirit." Let me read from verse 8 so that you understand clearly. "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit." Now, supernatural faith, as stated in the book of 1 Corinthians 12 verse 9, is a spiritual gift. This kind of faith is a spiritual gift. And this kind of faith is used by God to reveal and demonstrate his great power in the life of his people and in situations. So we see people demonstrating great faith, the supernatural faith. In the Bible, we see people like Moses dividing the Red Sea. We see people like the prophet commanding that there be no rain for a time space of 3.5 years. And as he spoke, so was it. And we see people like Joshua commanding the sun to stand still in their generation. So these are men, supernatural faith. Now, because this is a spiritual gift, it is only given to those who desire it. Just like all the spiritual gift, if you desire it, the Lord will give it to you. If you yearn for it, the Lord will give it to you. That is the same way, if you desire the spiritual gift of faith, the Lord will give it to you. God is calling you to that place where your word or what you speak become a law in the spirit. For the prophet said that he shared power with God. The Bible accounted that he shared power with God. So, supernatural faith is something we need in our generation. And we see people like, people in history like that of Smith Wigglesworth, who by faith could enter into a place where a funeral is going on, enter where a dead body is laid, and just by faith
command the dead person to come back to life and the person come back to life. We are praying that in this generation, the Lord raise more of Smith Wigglesworth, more of Elijah, more of Joshua, more of Moses, more of the Idahoses in our generation, more of the Reinhard Bonnkes in our generation, who would demonstrate that supernatural faith. I pray that the hand of the Lord rest upon you. I pray that the Lord bless you and the Lord move your faith into a greater dimension. I pray that the Lord make you a blessing. In Jesus' name, I pray. It is my prayer that the Lord touch you. I hope you are blessed by this word of God. Because of our time, I want to end here. God richly bless you for your time. Amen.
We know there's more that's found in you.